KYW News Radio Original Podcasts.
It's just a good conversation with someone you didn't know you were interested in. I'm Matt Leon, and this is One-on-One, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love.
Stepping on the campus, I love the campus. And then when I seen the facility, beautiful facility. So me just walking into that Marinda Center, I just knew like this was home. It just kind of reignited that spark where I'm just like, hey, I understand that it's not Division I basketball, but hey, maybe I can just enjoy basketball again. So it gave me that love and took away the business side of basketball and just gave me that love of the natural sport again.
And our guest this week is Deshaun Lohman. He was one of maybe the greatest basketball player to ever come out of Division III Neumann University in Aston. These days, he is working in education, dean of students at Forward Elementary School in Wilmington, Delaware. Deshaun, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
So before we talk about your basketball exploits, education, you've done great work since graduating. Was this always the plan? Did you always figure you were going to go into education?
I'm going to be honest, just like most students going through high school, I was unsure. I thought I was going to be an NBA player. Obviously, it wasn't the dream come true. But yeah, so me just working through obviously all my experience with basketball and things like that, I worked at the YMCA for a while. I was doing a tutoring program there, and I'm like, hey, I enjoy doing this. So I was giving back to them, helping them out with their homework and different things like that, some classwork. And I realized that, hey, this is a passion that I have, giving back and helping students.
So talk a little bit about your current position. Mentioned Dean of Students at Forward. What goes into that day-to-day? What do you do?
So day-to-day is just the same thing, just building relationships. So that's my main thing, making sure I maintain climate and culture at the school. So making sure that all the students are safe, making sure that the teachers are prepared each and every single day. Going through the hallways, I'm greeting students in the morning. I'm greeting students as they leave out of the building at the end of the day. If is there any behavior problems, things like that, I'm sitting students down, having restorative conversations, trying to help them learn accountability and help them learn from their mistakes. So that's basically my day-to-day, just trying to, like I said, help the climate and culture of the school.
And kindergarten to five, I don't want to act like there are no issues. That's a fun age to be molding young kids.
I mean, you'll be surprised. So it seems like it wouldn't be any issues. I thought the same thing. Hey, moving in elementary wouldn't be that many, but it's a lot. Like I said, they're, especially when they're young, they're learning mistakes from day-to-day experiences. So things that they're learning at home and things like that, they bring into the school, and it might not be the appropriate things all the time. So sometimes they don't understand like some social boundaries. Sometimes they don't understand. They don't have social awareness and things like that. So it might be something silly like a kid's eating at lunch and then another kid comes over and takes a chicken nugget from her or something like that. Then obviously I'm have to deal with those situations, just have them understand basically they're wrong for trying to take somebody else's food, and they might not understand those type of things. So it's small problems, but just trying to help them be successful as they move on through life.
We were talking before we got started, smaller school, about 300 kids, you said.
Correct.
K to five. As someone who graduated from a small public school in South Jersey, when you can develop those kind of relationships kind of across the board where you can pretty much, you know, a good amount about every kid, how much easier does that make the job just because of that relationship and kind of that FaceTime you can have almost across the board?
Yeah, so I'm going to be honest with you. I know every single student's name in our building. Like you said, with those small schools, it's definitely a family type of vibe, I would say. And then when it comes to me, like being the dean of students, like, you know, sometimes they're kind of disciplinary and things like that. Well, the students don't look at me that way. They look at me as somebody they can, like a friend. Right. Somebody they can talk to sometimes, like even when they know that my job is obviously to hold them accountable, they also understand I'm there to help them. So it's not any situation where a kid doesn't want to come to me. It's always a situation where they know that I'm there to always help them, even if it's holding them accountable, which sometimes it's tough for them, that accountability piece.
Now, you have your doctorate in education, correct?
Correct. Yes.
Was that, where did that emerge as a goal for you? Was that something like once you got into teaching, into education, you thought would be something you wanted to do? Or was it just something as you went along, you were kind of passionate about it, good at it, and the goals just kind of kept moving?
Yeah, I would say it was something that I didn't know that I was going to do in the beginning. One of those things, just kind of like basketball, I just kind of built upon each step of my career, I would say. So as I got my bachelor's degree, then I moved up to my master's, and I'm like, hey, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think I could do the doctorate, but it might be achievable. So I talked to some different people within a school district and things like that, and they was like, hey, go do it. You're still young. You're still able to do it. You're a very bright kid. Make it happen. So that's when I made that next step, and I got that doctorate degree.
What does that not allow you to do, but what does it What horizons does it open to you possibly long term?
I'm going to be honest. It opens up a lot of doors, puts you in a lot of different rooms and things like that. So I realize a lot about this, and being in education is about not only what you know, but who you know. So it puts me in different rooms with people where I wouldn't have been in rooms with before. And also I've started my own nonprofit. So things like that kind of opens up that door when you hear that doctor on the beginning of that person's name and things like that. Oh, that's a doctor of this. So it basically just helps you when you're trying, like I said, network with different people and things like that. So it's a great title, I would say, overall to have. And also for my community. So it was a different things where I basically wanted to show them the next step. So I grew up in like poverty and things like that. So them being able to see those young people growing up in the same neighborhoods as me, being able to see like, hey, you're able to go get that doctorate degree and you're able to do things outside of the community and then the typical things that you see.
What's your favorite part of being in education at this point in your career?
I'm going to be honest with you, the relationships. Just trying to see those students obviously grow. So I've been all the way through. So I taught in elementary, I taught in middle school, I taught in high school. And my biggest thing that I could take away is the relationships and knowing that I helped somebody. So even though I'm in the elementary school right now, some people might think, oh, but they're still young. Like, how much can you really help them? You can. You can make a definitely make a change and a difference. I started something called the Brotherhood Program at my school. And it's for basically young men, fourth and fifth grade, that are struggling. They don't have, they're single family households, so they don't have father figures in their lives. So me being able to bring that program to them and then have them understand that, hey, I'm here for you. I'm a father figure. I can be somebody that can be mentoring you and things like that. It makes me feel good that I can help them and go help them deal with all the trauma and things that they're going through.
And to be able to impact and move in at that young age is really critical because you can change the path of where they're going.
Correct. And that's my plan with this program. So this is the first time they ever had this program ever in my school, and also in my school district, the Burnie School District. They don't have this program at all. So my plan is kind of like to grow it through the Burnie School District. So as you said, the beginning year, starting off in elementary school and then moving into the middle school, and also trying to get some programs in the high school so they're able to see that progression and pipeline through. So when they get to those high school ages, even though they might have unfortunate circumstances where they had those single family homes, they also can create a network of brothers where they realize that, hey, you can help each other through all the tough situations and traumas that other people may not understand.
Given how busy education keeps you, do you play basketball at all these days?
I'm going to be honest with you, no. I don't have any time. So I actually do help out, and I do strength and conditioning right now at Concord High School. So I'm helping out with their players, and I give back and do things like that where I'm like in a weight room with them. We work out at Planet Fitness. We're working out at Concord High School in the gym, trying to do different things with skills and development. But me personally playing, no, I don't have time for myself.
The strength and development, was that something you were really into as a player?
Yeah. So it was something basically where I knew that, so early I told you I wanted to be an NBA player. So early on in my high school career, I didn't realize how much strength and conditioning actually matters. And a lot of these high school players don't really understand the importance of it. So me going through and then me understanding, once I got into the college level, I went to St. Joe's originally. So I was there and I seen how much they had to work out. So we were working up at 5 a.m. and running 3 miles. And then we got a personal workout in the weight room where we're doing another hour in there where we're doing lifting weights and things like that. And then you got breakfast, and it's a whole regimen that you have each and every day. And I never realized the importance of that in high school. So then once I stepped down and went to Newman University, that's when I realized I had to continue this regimen, continue to work hard. And it obviously helped me in my latter years.
So growing up, was basketball your top sport?
I'm going to be honest with you, I was a football player. Yeah. So I started off originally playing football, never played basketball at all. So my dad was a football guy. He loved football to death. So I started playing football when I was 4 years old. I played in Pee Wee. I played football for, I would say, until I was about 10, 11. And then that's when basically one of my friends was like, hey, I'm on this basketball team. You should come help out. Like, we don't have enough players. So I'm like, okay. I never played basketball, and I was terrible. I was probably the worst player on the team. Being a football player, I didn't obviously dribble a ball. So me dribbling and trying to move at the same time was it was foreign to me. So that's when I realized that, hey, I mean, I enjoy doing this, but I also was super bad at it. So I'm very competitive. So with that competitive nature that I have, it just made me want to get better. Like, hey, I got to get better. So then I stepped away from football and then dedicated all my time to practicing and training for basketball to just become the best player that I could be.
When do you feel like you started to realize that you were really good and you could take basketball further than most?
I would say probably my senior year of high school. I got my growth spurt that year too. So once I hit my senior year of high school and I started seeing my name in the paper and things like that, my team was top, I think, 5 in the state that year and things like that. We went to the Final Four. I started realizing, hey, you might be pretty good at this sport.
And you went to Concord?
I did. I went to Concord High School, yeah. And that's why I'm giving back now with the strength and conditioning, because I'm giving them all the things that I didn't realize that was important for basketball and development. And like I said, especially once a lot of these players want to take that step to the next level and play college basketball, but they don't understand what it takes to be, like I said, a true basketball player.
Was the recruiting process overwhelming? You mentioned you went to St. Joe's first, so you're talking big time hoops. Like, what was that like?
So I'm going to be honest with you. So me wanting to go to the NBA, I knew I had to be a Division I player, so I had other Division II schools and scholarships and things like that. When I went to St. Joe's, they offered me basically a preferred walk-on position, so I will basically be a preferred walk-on to come onto the team. So not a scholarship player, but I would have to earn my way to earn a scholarship and things like that. And then that's when I realized also the business side of it. So then that's when I kind of, as I'm going through, I just realized that with that recruitment process, like you talked about, it's a lot. It was a lot. So that was the only Division I school that was actually in contact with me and talking to me. And that's when I'm like, okay, I got to make that jump if I want to go to that next level and try to make the NBA. So that was my plan to go there.
You were there for a year, and you talked about the regiment and all that. Like, was it a huge jump from Concord High School to Division I basketball? Like, was it palpable? Like, oh man, this is bigger, faster, stronger than anything I'm used to?
Yeah, I'm going to be very honest with you. Yeah, it was completely different. So me jumping into a Division I from a high school in Delaware was completely different. All the players and all, I'm going to be honest with you, everybody's strong. Like when you get to that next level, like everybody's strong, everybody's quick, everybody has some sort of skill, right? And then they specialize in their own areas, where in high school you might have a player that's kind of weaker. So it was like, okay, I can get away with certain stuff. So at that next level, your skills have to be all the way put together and if you want to try to be successful in that Division I sports. And then it also made me realize, like I said, how hard you have to work. So it's like a job, being completely honest with you. So all my high school basketball players out there, if you want to take that next step, you have to realize you got to put in the work early. And it's, like I said, treat it like a job. So if you love it that much, put in those 8 hours a day.
How tough was it from a competitiveness, ego standpoint to go from being the guy at Concord to preferred walk-on, where you're on the team, but you are low on the totem pole. You know, you're not getting in probably most of the 5-on-5 work.
Yeah.
You know, how difficult was that to deal with? And was it an important lesson when you kind of look, take a step back and look at kind of the big picture of your life to this point?
Yeah, it's an ego buster. I'm going to be honest with you. So trying to take that next step up and then trying to, from being the guy and then going there and being like a, not like a nobody, but somebody that's not as seen as valuable to the team, it kind of messes with your mental a lot. So I would definitely went through some depression times where it was kind of like, I'm deciding, is this sport even for me? Is this something that I can continue to keep up with on top of my education and things like that? Because that's the other part of it. So you're getting Division I sports, but you're also getting those Division I education. So it was like the education part of it too was just kind of a lot to keep up with. So it can be crushing to your mind mentally.
So talk about the decision to transfer. Was it, did you kind of look and see that you were maybe going to be limited at St. Joe's and let me go somewhere where I can play more? And was Newman, head coach Jim Rulo, was that a school you had had any kind of contact with prior to going to St. Joe's? Kind of what was the timeline there?
Yeah, so after St. Joe's, I'm going to be honest, I was defeated. So that first year, basically my preferred walk-on position, I ended up losing it because somebody from Canisius College came over and he had like a 3.6 GPA. He was already a junior, I believe, in college and things like that. So he was already playing Division I sports. So it was between me or him. And this is the business side of it. I was explaining it to you. So they explained to me basically, hey, you're a kid from Delaware that wasn't recruited on scholarship here. We have a Division I transfer that's coming in. It's the last spot on the team. This is my livelihood, too. As a coach, we have to figure out which player I'm going to choose. I obviously chose the other player, and that was crushing to me. It defeated me. It made me feel as though, like, hey, my basketball career was done. So with basketball, I was completely done. So I finished the year at St. Jude's, and then afterwards, I kind of just stopped playing for a while. Then the summer came. I was like doing like pickup hoops. So not even working out, no trainer or anything like that. Just playing pickup hoops at the YMCA. And then one day, I'm going to be honest, it was a Sunday. I'm working out. And then Jim Rulo's assistant coach comes in, and basically his name was Ron. He comes in basically just like, hey, like, you got game, man. Like, do you play anywhere? And I'm like, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I'm done with basketball. Like, this is not something I'm looking forward to anymore. Like I said, I was mentally just defeated. So he was like, I'm going to be honest with you. We have this program over at Newman. It's a new head coach. His name is Jim Rulo. He would love to come over and meet you and things like that. And I'm just like, Newman University, me being from Delaware, I didn't even know where that was. Just being completely honest. So he was like, yeah, you should come check out the facility. You'll love it. Come check out the campus. Went to the campus, checked it out with one of my friends, his name Ron Taylor. So me and Ron Taylor kind of just said, hey, I mean, we might could change this program around. So he told me that they basically didn't never won a championship there. And they also were pretty bad at basketball. So he was like, we're trying to change the program around. And he wanted me to be a vital part of it. So that's what was my decision to go there.
Was your fire reignited immediately?
I'm going to be honest with you. Yeah. So stepping on the campus, I love the campus. And then when I seen the facility, beautiful facility. So me just walking into that Marinda Center, I just knew like this was home. And then, like I said, it just kind of, like I said, reignited that spark where I'm just like, hey, I understand that it's not Division I basketball, but hey, maybe I can just enjoy basketball again. So it gave me that love and took away the business side of basketball and just gave me that love of the natural sport again.
Jim Rulo, one of my favorites, helped me get in contact with you for this podcast. What is he like to play for? He's had a phenomenal run at Newman, just led him back to the NCAA tournament this past season. What's he like as a coach and a person to be with day in, day out?
He's one of those guys where, I'm going to be honest with you, he knows how to start a fire under you. So that was one of the things he told me coming from St. Joe's, coming down to Newman University. He explained to me, like, hey, use this as motivation. And he continually pushed me and told me, like, hey, you can be the greatest of all time here. Just letting you know, like, I can see it in you. I see the fire in your eyes. And he, like I said, he just gives you that motivation. So even with his players now, as you can see, like, he continues to take them. He holds that standard, but then he also puts you above the standard. So if the standard is 100%, he wants 115%, 120%. He continues. Usually does that throughout his career. Great coach, X's and O's guys, breaks down film, which was a thing, like I said, I didn't see until Division I level. Like, film wasn't a thing in high school for us. So him breaking down film, that's just his niche. Like, he knows different pattern, player patterns and things like that. And then he helps you also recognize your player pattern. So he told me basically one of my player patterns is I'm struggling, like going left sometimes. So I need to continue to work on my left hand. I need to add a pull-up jumper. So it's different things he did for me to add to my game. But just overall, just a great guy.
We need to take a break. We will have more with Deshaun Lohman in just a few moments. But right now, I want to tell you that One-on-One with Matt Leon is sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Proud sponsor of the KYW News Radio Studios. Bring on the fun and bring home a new Honda with a great deal on your favorite Honda vehicles. And finally, take that road trip you've been dreaming of. Now's the time to check out the Honda Civic and HR-V from Honda. The 2025 Kelley Blue Books KBB.com. Best value brand. Now on One-on-One with Matt Leon, let's return to our conversation with former Newman University men's basketball star Deshaun Lohman. So you obviously feel comfortable and you have success pretty much right away there. Not just you, but the program blossoms almost immediately. How much fun was it kind of being a building block for that and then end up being the leader for that?
Yeah, so our first year, Coach Rulo said from the beginning, like, we're going to win the championship. That was my freshman year. He was like, hey, we're going to win the championship. And we went all the way to the conference championship that year. We ended up losing to Cabrini. But basically, he knew, like he said, he's a guy where, I'm going to be honest with you, he loves winning, but he hates losing way more than he loves winning. So he's one of those guys where that next year he was like, we got to win it. So that building block that first year showed us that, hey, we went from a conference championship, which they haven't seen at Newman for, I think, I can't tell you how many years, but it was like years before in past that they haven't been there. So that first year he was like, okay, this is a building block. Then that next year we won it in my sophomore year. My junior year went all the way to the conference championship again. Unfortunately, we lost to Gwinnett Mercy that year. And then my senior year we came back and then beat Gwinnett Mercy to get that revenge that next year. So overall, like I said, he just helped obviously build that program up, and I'm glad that I can be a part of it.
Scout yourself as a player. At your best, what did you bring to the table?
Yeah, at my best, I would just say I was dedicated, right? So I was a motivated player, so I'll make sure, like I said, similar to Jim Rulo, I hated losing way more than I love winning. So me being on that floor, I'm going to do whatever it takes. So I'm diving on the floor, getting every rebound. If it was me making shots that game, it was me making shots. If it was me, like I said, just defending the best player on the other team and stopping them from scoring, whatever you need on the floor, I'm going to do whatever it takes to win that game.
Looking through the numbers, I think you're the highest, most points in Newman history.
Yes.
You're fourth in rebounds, eighth in assists, third in steals. Nobody played more games than you in your career. Was there a point where you realized the impact you were having on Newman University basketball that would eventually lead to your number being retired? We'll talk about that. But were you cognizant of any of that as a college player, or were you just kind of more, we need to win, we got Cabrini coming in, we got to worry about that, and not thinking about your impact on the program?
Yeah, so I'm going to be honest with you. It wasn't a situation where I was thinking about those things. I told you, me leaving St. Joe's and then coming back to Newman was just the love of basketball. So it was just that love and fire that I already had from said me coming down, stepping down to that Division III level, but also, like I said, with Jim Rulo behind me, he's just like a guy that's similar to me, where it's just that losing is just a nasty, bitter taste. So it was just making sure that I wanted to win every single game, so I'm doing whatever it takes on the floor. So I wasn't really thinking about individual accolades. I was thinking long-term legacy, and that was winning as many championships as possible.
Now, obviously, that year at St. Joe's was difficult, but do you think you would have had the success you had if you didn't go through it?
No. Yeah, no. So I said that me being defeated there, like mentally, and having that setback where it's just like, okay, I thought I had my spot on the team, and then this other guy comes in, then he takes the spot from me, and then now they're telling me try out again next year and things like that. It definitely lit a fire under me, especially, I said, once I met Jim Rulo and Ron and things like that, where they basically told me how the legacy that I could leave here at Newman University. And then basically I said, with all those expectations that I had for myself got exceeded, obviously, once I got to Newman University with those two behind me. So
I think you ended up playing in two NCAA tournaments, if I'm correct.
Correct. Yeah.
What was that experience like? I think your sophomore and your senior year, you guys were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Your senior year. But what was that NCAA tournament experience, seeing your name come up on the line, kind of being in the spotlight like that? How much fun was that?
It was a lot of fun, especially my senior year. So my senior year, we were actually ranked top 15 in the nation.
Yeah, you guys were like 25-2 at one point, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So me going through that experience definitely had me basically realize that this is a lot of fun, right? So seeing, like I said, the live stream and things like that, and them picking the teams. And then my senior year, we also hosted the NCAA tournament, which obviously has never been done at Newman before. So that was a cool experience. I wish we could have won that game. But like I said, it was just overall just a great being in an NCAA tournament. Yeah.
Kind of building on that, when you look back at your years at Newman, what are some of your favorite memories? When you think of your college experience, what are the first things that come flooding back?
So my favorite championship, I would say, is obviously my sophomore year. That's the year we beat Cabrini. So we beat Cabrini that year. They had a really good player over there at Cabrini that year. He was player of the year, I think like 3 years in a row. I think he went Division III All-Americans, second team or something like that. So we beat him his senior year, and he beat us the year before. So us beating him on his senior year, Aaron Walton Moss was his name. So Aaron Walton Moss, like I said, he was the leading scorer or whatever. He averaged like 23 points
a
game.
He was incredible. Yeah, he was like a walking triple-double.
Yeah, I think he almost averaged a triple-double that year, if not the year before. But yeah, so Aaron Walton Moss was there, and basically us beating him that senior year, and my friend Kevin Green. So Kevin Green hit the shot. That's what we name it, the shot. So we were down, hit the shot to tie it up. We send it into overtime, and then obviously that momentum just shifted, and we ended up winning that game. So I'm always remember that game forever. Another great memory was obviously hosting the NCAA tournament, so having all the different teams come to us, and the hotels around the areas are selling out and things like that, and the students are all on campus and excited about the game. So that was a great experience. And then I'm going to be honest, just the day-to-day grind. Just having, like I said, being there with Jim Rulo, and then my different players and teammates that I had, like they become family, right? So just the road trips and taking a bus down different places, and like I said, having those different hotel experiences was just like, hey, this is a family, right? So I'm going to be honest with you, a lot of those memories are going to stay with me for the rest of my life.
So that senior year, that last game you mentioned, I think it was Nichols you guys played in the NCAA tournament. Phenomenal game. You guys come up a little short. The thing about tournament basketball in college, it is probably one of the best things. But there is a suddenness to the ending that I don't know you can talk about what it feels like if you haven't experienced it, because it's just so sudden. The world's in front of you. We're going to win the championship. Oh, God, they hit the shot. It's over.
Yeah.
What was that emotion like when that season comes to a close, but that's the end of your career too?
Yeah, so for a lot of players, it's hard to let go of, right? So just, like I said, coming to that abrupt stop, where especially during that, obviously, we hosted the tournament, so they expected us to go at least to the Sweet 16. Just being honest, that year, that was a lot of expectations on us for the Sweet 16. So us losing that first game was just kind of like, wow, like, is this real? Like, there's no redo button, right? So just, like, going in back into the locker room and just shedding tears, just completely honest with you. Just, it's one of those situations where it's kind of like you don't know what's next. Like, hey, like, I thought this was the year. I thought this was the game. And like I said, even with Jim Rulo being exes to those guys, like I said, with this tournament, you don't know what's going to happen. So a kid on that team ended up having 20-plus points, where he averaged like five or six that year or something like that. So you really is unexpected, obviously, when you come to the tournament. Anybody can go off. Anybody can have a night. But when it's done, it's just like a traumatic experience, honestly. It hurts.
Yeah, kind of building off that, you've obviously had a very fulfilling career post-basketball. But we talk about that suddenness, and then a lot of people can struggle with identity once their playing days are over, because yes, so much of who you are is tied into being a star basketball player or a key basketball player. Did you have any struggles with that? And did you have any shots at pro overseas, anything like that?
Yeah, so when I left, obviously, at a Division I at St. Joe's, that identity part, I hit that. So I was confused because basketball was me. So my senior year and leaving, I already went through my struggles with the identity piece of it, so I didn't struggle as much. Basketball was more fun to me rather than my life. But I had a lot of teammates that struggled with that identity piece and trying to figure out who they are now in life. I knew that me coming from Division I, playing at St. Joe's and then coming back down to Newman, my passion was in giving back. Like I told you before, me working at the YMCA and things like that was about giving back. So I didn't struggle with that piece. I did have an opportunity to go overseas. They offered me like $25,000, something like that, for a season, which is like 6 months, I would say. But then after that season, you don't have, one, a contract. You have to try to play good enough to get another contract. And then also, like I said, those next 6 months, you're off, whereas like you don't have a job now. It just wasn't a situation I wanted to go through. I knew I would make more money being a teacher, right? Being here with people that I know and I love and things like that, rather than being overseas with, like I said, I don't even know the language or these people, and I'm getting paid, like I said, $25,000, but it just wasn't enough for me.
Did you ever have any regrets of not taking that opportunity where you're like, you know, 3-4 years later, you're still in pretty good shape? Well, you know, maybe I should. Or were you like, nah, we're good, and now the next chapter has started?
Yeah, so I'm a hard worker, so I feel like I could have went over there and definitely made something of my career. But then at the same token, like I said, I'm happy with my life. I definitely, like I said, I look back at it. I don't want to say it's a regret. I'm like, maybe I should have did it for a year just to see what could happen next. But like I said, overall, I was happy with just being a teacher and giving back and making that next step in my educational career rather than, like I said, that sports career.
I think I mentioned your jersey was retired, and I haven't seen it. Is there literally your number, was it 32, hanging in the rafters?
Yeah,
what is that? What was that like when you learned that, and what is the sense of pride that anytime you go there, you can point and like, that's the story right there?
Yeah, it's a surreal feeling. So just going inside the gym and knowing that I played here, right? My name is going to be in this gym forever. It's definitely a feeling, like I said, of great gratitude. I was definitely, when they first told me about it, I'm just like, what? I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. Like, you sure? Me? You're like, yeah, this soon? Because they did also very soon. So it was, I believe, within the next 2 years that it ended up going up in the Raptors. So I was surprised. I was shocked. So with all that being said, is a milestone, I would say, that a lot of people try to achieve but not, are not able to achieve. So for me to achieve it and not even try to achieve it was one of those things where I'm just like, wow, this is amazing. So a lot of my students, like this year, my brotherhood program at Fort Hood Elementary, we came up and then we took pictures in front of it. I had my high school players from Concord High School, my alma mater. I had them come up and they was able to see the gym and see my number and things like that. So it was a great experience for them to realize where I come from and the things that I did also on the basketball court. And then, like I said, me just being amazed by it.
Given all that, was there, because a lot of times students look at teachers and we only see them in the box of they are my teacher. Like, I remember being like freaked out seeing a teacher like at a restaurant or something. You know what I'm talking about. So what was the response from students when they kind of learned that you were arguably the greatest player to ever come through a college program? Like, that's huge.
Yeah, they don't believe it's me. Yeah. They want to see pictures. They want to see, like, no way, that's your name. So they're just not believing it until, like I said, I have to physically actually show them. So, like, with my elementary school kids, I actually had to show them clips of me playing. And they were like, well, you look skinnier there. Are you sure that? I'm a little out of shape now. But, yeah, so them seeing me there were like, no way. So, yeah, it just, like you said, it's hard to separate the two. So they see you as an educator and they think, that's it. You're only a teacher. That's what you live here at the school. Literally, you sleep here every single day. So them seeing me in that different light definitely gave them a different relationship with me. Helped them realize that I'm similar to them. A lot of them love basketball and things like that. So they were able to realize, like, hey, this guy's pretty cool.
We talk about your dean of students now. You've done the classroom. What are you looking at? You're obviously focused on your job now, but What are other things in education you think of you'd eventually like to pursue or things like that? Like, what other things in the in the job field of education are things that you think you can make an impact on?
Yeah, so through that, I kind of – in my career now, so I'm at the Dean of Students. Obviously, the next step is assistant principal and principal. I'm obviously going to work my way up that ladder. I'm in the process now of trying to figure out assistant principal jobs where I can find a spot at. But also, my biggest impact that I'm trying to make is through my nonprofit. So it's called the Lohman Legacy Foundation. And through that, basically, I want to give back to different high school players and help them achieve their goal of going to college and playing sports and things like that. So I'm trying to obviously give out scholarship money, but I also want to open up my own facility. So I'm going to open up my own facility in Delaware, where basically the kids are able to come in and train. As I talked about before, that strength and conditioning is very important. A lot of Delaware players aren't able to get that experience. So I just want to open up a facility where they can come and they can work out for free. And then also through that program, I want to allow either a psychologist, a male psychologist or psychiatrist to come and then basically help them with mental health. A lot of these students struggle with, like you said, the identity piece, trying to figure out who they are, even outside of sports, just in life, who they are. So I want to open up a facility where you can get that mental health and those sports and, like I said, skills development, strength and condition, all in one place.
Had I pulled you aside as a freshman at Concord High School and told you the journey that was in front of you, would you have believed it then?
No. I would not have believed it. Even when I went to St. Joe's, initially I went for pre-med. So I thought I was going to be a doctor. So like me going into my freshman year of high school, I'm like, oh, yeah, doctor. I got to St. Joe's and realized, like, hey, I don't like these science classes that much. So I didn't enjoy it that much. Like I said, you're supposed to enjoy your job. So me realizing that it just wasn't for me, there's no way you would tell me I'll be doing this stuff right now.
Deshaun Lohman, thanks so much for coming in. This was great.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate you.
That will do it for this edition of One-on-One with Matt Leon, sponsored by your Delaware Valley Honda dealers. Get a deal you'll like on a Honda you'll love. Want to thank former Newman University men's basketball star Deshaun Lohman for coming in studio and being our guest this week. Now, if you like this show, if you listen on Apple Podcasts, do us a favor, leave us a rating and a review. You can follow the show on X at 101pod. You can follow me there as well at MattLeon1060. Thanks so much for listening, and be sure to check us out again next time when we bring you another conversation with someone you should know more about.